All right. Take your Bibles and go towards the end or a little after the middle of the New Testament. If you get to the book of Hebrews or anything to the right of that, turn left. Right before Hebrews, you will find Philemon, one page, and then right before Philemon, you'll find two pages of a book that was written, a letter that was written by Paul to another young man, another son in the faith by the name of Titus. We're going to go to Titus chapter 1. You read this, Lord willing, a week ago this morning. We're going to go to the first five verses of Titus chapter 1, and then we will launch into the message. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after goodness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. Now notice what he said there. Paul was called to preach the word of God, the wisdom of God that was coming out of there, out of his mouth and others, was taking place through preaching. Now, the word is finished. It is complete. But it is still through preaching, through teaching, that the word is coming out. Yes, you can study it, obviously. But the Lord has ordained preaching. This is why we gather together. We encourage each other. We admonish one another. Not that the pastor is any better than anybody else. It's a calling. But the fact of the matter is, everybody has a calling, as we'll see. Go to verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 5 is our main text. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, the things that are left undone, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. It was A.D. 59. The Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. He has some young men in the faith with him. He stopped at this island, Crete, but he didn't stop very long. There were people that were saved. There were young churches that were started. But he wasn't there long enough. He had to leave. He wasn't there long enough to get much done, everything that he wanted to get done. So this is what he did. He left Titus there to finish the job, to work with the local churches there in Crete. Now, as we have looked at before, Crete was not known for having people of high moral character. Whoever was there needed the Lord and needed Him desperately. The people there needed the Lord desperately. Those who were saved needed to understand what God had called them to. Now, do you think we have that same situation here in America? We've got to understand this more and more, that those that live in America understand the Bible less and less. They just don't. Now, I'm not going to get political on this, but please hear me out on this. One of the things that I find sad, what's happening in America, is there's an ignorance that is awash, especially in young people. And because of that, there are those in government places that are ignoring aspects of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. In fact, I would dare say it's flagrant right now. One of the reasons why is they have these man-on-the-street interviews, and they start asking people about government. The people can hardly answer them. I forget, it's like over a third. I think, in fact, it might be worse. But I believe it's over a third cannot name one branch of the government. Not one. Now, how many branches of government do we have? Three. You all know that. We've got the legislative branch. We've got the fruitful branch. Just kidding. You know, we've got the executive branch. We have the judicial branch. They can't. In fact, it was really low. It's something like 28% of those that could give all three. They just couldn't. They just absolutely couldn't. Do you know 70, 80 years, 90 years after this country was founded, it was known. You could walk up to a farmer in the field in his coveralls, and you could start asking him about his government, and he could tell you how the government worked. Not only that, a good number of them, this is true, a good number of them would pull out a copy of the Constitution that was in their back pocket. To them, it was important. Now, for that reason, we have a problem today. Instead of running by the Constitution, we're running by an agenda. That's why we have our liberties being threatened even in this capital. Now, why did I bring this up? We're supposed to be in the book of Titus. I'll explain why. Because the fact of the matter is, we have an ignorance of God's Word as well. When that takes place, Satan is able to subtly get into the church, and instead of being guided by the Word of God, it's guided by an agenda. Are you understanding where I'm going to? If we are not careful, that's exactly what can take place here. So we need to be wise biblically. What does the Bible say? That is why this book is important. This last Sunday, we read this, only 2 pages long. And there are many good things in it. But I want to draw 3 things out. As Paul directed Titus, we need to understand why we are here. Number one, I'd like for you to write this down. Please write this down. Write this down. Everybody, I want you, as many as possible, please take notes. This is important. Once again, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed me, appointed thee. Number one, you need Crete. You need Crete. Listen, when we were created a new creature in Christ, when you were saved, you were created, saved to serve a loving God. You are not here to be independent. Can I get an amen on that? Look, you try to live your life out on your own, and you're going to wind up in an absolute disaster. I don't care how young or how old you are. Without me, Christ said, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You're created to serve a Savior, not sin, not self. You were created to serve God. And it was His pleasure to give us all we needed. He gave it to us in the garden, and then in Christ He did this as well. In the garden, we had everything we needed, and we were called to be, you know, human. We were creatures. We were created. But then, when we trusted Christ, we became more than that. We became children of God. We were adopted into the family of God. Have you been adopted into the family of God? Okay, now please, follow me on this. When you got saved, He gave you a place to serve. He gave you a place to serve. Are you listening? You were not called to be a couch potato. I'm doing what they call a dramatic pause. Sometimes it works on television, you know. You were created to serve. You need Crete. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. That's why you're in Him. Revelation chapter 4. If you go there, don't go there now, please. Take this round. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You need Crete. You were created for something here. You were given the Holy Spirit for a reason here. You were given a place here. You need Crete. Now, sadly, the Bible tells us about some people that were given a Crete and they lost it. They blew it. When we were in Israel, going up this mountain, we were told this is where Samson's mother and father lived. We looked down into a valley, and they said, right there, from what the Scripture says, right there is where Samson's mother and father met the angel. Right there in that valley. You know the story of Samson. He grew up full of self, full of sin, not full of service to God. He blew his Crete. There it also took place with Jonah. Jonah was called, go to where? Preach there. And what did he do? He ran in the opposite direction. And you know the story. Now, is Crete sometimes difficult? Oh yeah. Crete sometimes is a challenge. It can be a challenge daily. I don't know where you were called. I don't know where your call is. But the fact of the matter is, you need your calling. You need Crete. Are you listening? We got to drill it, folks. We got to drill it. I want you to walk out of here. You're either going to be sick of what I'm saying, but you'll listen to it. You need Crete. Is Crete worth it? Absolutely. Because I want to stand before God someday and give an account. I am going to stand before God someday and give an account of my Crete. You are too. You are too. John Henry Jowett said this, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. I'm tired of this. Let me tell you, I don't know how many times I've gotten in my truck, I've gotten on Interstate 80, especially with my wife, I've gotten on Interstate 80, and I thought, what would it be like if I just kept driving? Just up Interstate 80. I love those trees. I love going. Then you go up Interstate 80 and hang a left, and next thing you know, you're at Norm's new house. You know why you need Crete? You know why you need Crete? Because in Crete you find God's best. If God's will gave you Crete, that's God's best for you. I don't know what your Crete is, but you find God's best in Crete. Number two, you find God's blessing in Crete. Because He called you there for a reason. That's where He will bless you. Oh, it might not be obvious to humanity. It might not be obvious to other believers. But the fact of the matter is, that's where you're going to have that great fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where He called you. You find God's best there. You find God's blessing. Thirdly, you find God's way. I love those words by Abraham's servant. I being in the way the Lord led me. I'd rather be in the way than out of the way. Sometimes being in Crete is a challenge. Sometimes it'll bring tears to your eyes. Sometimes you'll wonder, Lord, why do I have to be here? Have you ever heard Moses talk, you know, when he was leading the children of Israel? Can you imagine leading 3 million people or so when you think of the men and the women and all the children? And they get tired of eating what they're eating, you know, the manna and all that. Oh, my soul. You think, you know, let's pull up to an In-N-Out Burger. Just order what you want. You find God's best, you find God's blessing, and you find God's way. Yeah, but you know, really, hey, listen, go to John chapter 6, would you please? John chapter 6. Remember what we were talking about this morning? What is it that the Lord wants to do? He wants to make us like His Son. Make us like Jesus. What happens when we become like Jesus? Look at John chapter 6. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. If He had decided He was going to do His own will, number one, that can't happen because He's God. But if He had done something different, you and I wouldn't be here and we'd be on our way to hell. Don't ever forget that. Can we do that? Can we never forget the fact that only by the love of God and by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're on our way to heaven, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. We find that out again in Titus. But there's only one reason why, folks, that we're saved. And it's not because of our good looks. Boy, praise God for that. Listen to verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is your future and mine. That's right there. Why? Because Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Now let me ask you this. Are we better than God? Are we better than Jesus? Jesus came. He knew what His creed was. Hey, He didn't need creed. But we need creed. We need creed. He said in Matthew 12, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Yeah, it makes us like Him. It absolutely makes us like Him. Go back to the book of Titus. In fact, there were several places that we read this last week. Of course, we read the book of Titus a week ago, like I said. Look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, Paul wrote Titus, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to do what? Maintain what? Maintain what? Good works. Where are the good works? In Crete. Where's the right way? In Crete. Your Crete. My Crete. These things are good and profitable unto men, he said. Listen, you need Crete. Now the question is, where is your Crete? That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you've got to go to Idaho or Sri Lanka or Russia or whatever. Your Crete could be a Sunday school class. I find it so sad that there are people that wind up walking away from the possibility of ministry because they either think they can't do it or the fact of the matter is they're not willing to do it. You will not grow and mature until you realize the importance of your creed. Do you hear that? You will not grow. Look, we all want to be more mature in Christ a year from now. Amen? You will not be more mature if you refuse your creed. So number one, you need creed. Number two, listen carefully. Creed needs you. That's why Paul left Titus there. This is what I want you to do, Titus. Creed needs you. I don't know why God does what He does. I don't know why God calls, how He calls. I don't know. But I do know this, He calls. By the way, I have found this. If we would just soften our hearts and give our hearts to the Lord, He would give us a burden for an area. It could be children. It could be children. How many of you know that there's a lot of children out here that don't know Jesus? They're right across the street. They're over in those apartment complex, over that apartment complex right over there. They're all there. They're there. They're all around this place. How do we find out where they are? You join us and you go to the doors. And when you walk up to the door, you see the bikes. You see the trikes. You don't sit back and wait for them to come. You go out into the highways and hedges, the Lord said. That's what turns that map red, is people that will allow God to work on their heart so that they will have a burden for Crete, to understand that Crete needs them. You need Crete, but Crete needs you. I know we can play a game on this, and we can say, well, you know, the Lord gets done what He really needs to get done. All right. But the fact of the matter is, there are some things that are left undone, and the Lord knows they're going to be left undone, but they didn't need to be left undone if we would have just understood the importance of our Crete. There's a Sunday school class that can go untaught because somebody didn't care about their Crete. There's a visitation to a hospital. There's a visitation to some place that doesn't take place. There's somebody that doesn't hear the gospel because somebody decided they didn't care about Crete. When the Lord mentioned about staying dealing with Crete, they decided, no, I don't want to stay in Crete. Kids go unreached. Even a pulpit goes unfulfilled. I praise God that even though it has been tough, it's been a hard road. I praise God that David Welch came back here, took his family over to Cortland, and he has stuck with it. Because God called him to a Crete. And he's done it. I love it. It's the same thing with Tim Schmidt. That's why we've got him preaching next Sunday morning. Because we need to be reminded of his burden for this 2-minute warning. And he is allowing us to be involved in this. By the way, I want you to understand something. Tim doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe me anything. He could go to a bigger church, more centralized church, and have the 2-minute warning there. He wants to be here where he grew up. I say, praise God. I say, we do the job. And I rejoice that we've done the job. This is the 5th one now. This is great. This is fantastic. You know, there's a mission field that can go without gospel witness. I have had 2, and they're long gone, long gone. I have had 2 ladies in this church years ago break down in tears and say, I know what took place, that where my life started getting really messed up and it affected my marriage, it affected this, it affected that, was when they were called to the mission field and they said no. And they purposely said no. That's sad. We have a message for our Crete. Go back to chapter 3 in Titus, if you would please. We have a message for our Crete. Look at verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards all men, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace. Listen, that's the majority of people still think they can get to heaven by working their way. They can't. You can't do a thing to get yourself to heaven. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We read the book of Amos. Now, by the way, if you read the book of Amos this last week, you read chapters 1 through 4 and it's like, oh, you know, this, you know, that which the palmer, you know, they start going to different cities, you know. Amos is preaching on this and this, and it's like, what in the world does all this mean? The last four chapters will tell a lot of what the first four chapters meant. But you read in Amos 4 this in verse 12, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You see, that's our message, folks. Do people need to prepare to seek God? Do people need to prepare to be before God? That's what they need to do. That's what they need to understand. Look, pride is eating the church alive. Pride is eating the church alive. Pride is keeping us from Crete so many times. It makes us treat Crete like it's nothing. After all, the people here, you know, they just don't understand. I'll never be able to get them to understand. Number one, we don't get them to understand. God does. We just keep going after them and after them and after them. God has tried to empty you and me of us before. Sometimes we just don't let Him do it. Have we ever failed in our God-given labor? Have we ever failed in our Crete? Oh, mercy. Remember when you read in Numbers chapter 20? You can go to it if you'd like, Numbers chapter 20. Here's Moses. He's about fed up. These people, and they're bickering, and they're complaining, and this and that. And now they need water again. They need this, and they need that. And the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. I want you this time to go speak to the rock. He didn't instead. He let his flesh get to him. Look at verse 11 in Numbers 20. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Oh, what a crushing thing to Moses. That was his Crete. He sinned. You know what? This is what we need to do. We need to settle our hearts right now. Please hear me. You might not be believing this, but I'm telling you, based on God's Word, you have been given a Crete. You need to get serious with the Crete. You need to search it out, not with your flesh, not with your fleshly passion. You need to go like Abraham's servant did, I being in the way the Lord led me, but let the Lord lead you. And you can mess up sometimes, but from here on out, by God's grace, do the best that you can in the creed that God's given you. Is it still worth it to serve the Lord? In Proverbs 23, again, we read this last week, Proverbs 23, verse 17, Solomon wrote, let not thine heart envy sinners. You ever look around and think, you know what, they're having such an easy time. And by the way, they are. You know, there are people, they're set for life. It's not that big of a deal. I don't need to worry about Crete. I've done what I can. Or they'll say, you know what, I've got too many toys to play with on the weekend. You know, I'll just do that. I'll leave the heavy stuff to somebody else. That's our problem in the church. We've left it to other people. We've left Crete. This is what we've done. We've come to church and we said, okay, so we got a Crete. Let's set up a committee and see who's going to take care of Crete this week. We can't do that. We can't do that. Solomon wrote, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That will keep your heart on Crete. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, God's not going to fail you. Our Lord told us this. Again, we read this, John 16, this last week. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. It's going to be tough. You're going to get on the highway sometime. You're going to want to keep driving. You're going to come to church sometime and go home and think, you know what? It's just not worth it. There's things that aren't changing in my life. I thought I'd be better along right now than this. I think I'm just going to look for entertainment. There's all kinds of churches out there doing it. You can have them. You can have them. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I also believe in the responsibility of man. And you know what? I would hate to think that someone sat comfortable in this church denying God his rightful place in their life. That Sunday after Sunday, somebody would come and it's like, I'm smiling at you, preacher. I'll put $10 in the plate, but I'm not going to listen to a thing that you say because I'm just here out of guilt. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to have fun the rest of the week. Listen, Thomas A. Kempis wrote this. Do not be worn out by the labors which you have undertaken for my sake. Let me start that again. Do not be worn out by the labors which you have undertaken for my sake, and do not let tribulations ever cast you down. Instead, this is God speaking through Thomas A. Kempis, instead, let my promise strengthen and comfort you under every circumstance. I am well able to reward you above all measure and degree. You shall not toil here long, nor always be oppressed with griefs. A time will come when all labor and trouble will cease. Labor faithfully in my vineyard. I will be thy recompense. Life everlasting is worth all these conflicts, and greater than these. Are not all plentiful labors to be endured for the sake of life eternal? Lift your face therefore to heaven. Behold, I and all my saints with me. Who in this world had great conflicts, the saints that is, are now comforted, now rejoicing, now secure, now at rest, and shall remain with me everlastingly in the kingdom of my Father. In other words, it's worth it serving God. So number one, you need Crete. Number two, Crete needs you. There's a place that has your name on it. Number three, lastly, God needs you in Crete. There is a holy, righteous God in heaven. We read about Him much in the book of Titus. He good if He pleased to have written across the heavens His message. He could have had the stones cry out, but He didn't. He gave to the redeemed the message of redemption. He gave to the redeemed the message of redemption because they would appreciate it the most. As much as man blows it, drops it, denies it, God still leaves with man the opportunity to tell it. He's promised us reward. But you know, still sadly, so often we are unmoved. Y'all need to stand up and stretch a little bit. Everybody listening? Everybody yawn. Say amen. Good, there we go. Listen to this. Again, I'm quoting C.S. Lewis twice. I don't put everything to C.S. Lewis, but there are some things that he did say. C.S. Lewis noted how believers often underestimate the riches that God has given, if we would take our Crete and live in it. Listen to this, quote, if we consider the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, let me say that again, if we consider the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures. like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We will settle for the remnants of pleasure on earth instead of the incredible rewards that are told us here in this book in heaven. Again, I don't know where your creed is. But would you please, write this. I mean, whatever you do, write this down. Do something. Write it on your eyelids. You have a creed. You have a place that God wants you to serve. It can be easy. It can be hard. It can be strenuous. It can seem like it goes on and on and on. But it's yours. And you know who's waiting for you in Crete? God is. And He has His way, and He has His blessing. That's where He is. You need that place. You know, Lord help this to get over as well as possible. If you stop and think about it, Christians act like God has a backup plan. Well, if I don't reach them, somebody else will. Jen, I don't know if your husband told you, but when Tim Schmidt and I got out of my truck yesterday morning to go to your front door, two Jehovah's Witnesses were working their way up. I had my Bible in hand, and I said, "Hold it! This is my call." "Oh, you live here?" I decided not to answer them anymore. I just went straight ahead, and they started slowly making their way down your driveway. See, you know what the backup plan is? Devil has the backup plan. He's got his minions out there sowing seeds, teaching millions, "Hey, this is how you can go to hell. And you'll feel good going there." God has only one plan. And that plan is you and it's me. And that's it. That's absolutely it. God could have made it for Paul to stay in Crete. But instead, He had Titus stay. God needed Titus there. There was a missionary years ago that would visit us every once in a while. Oh man, all of a sudden, where he was from, Thailand. His name was Tim Searles. How many of you remember Tim Searles? Now see, if this has been so long ago, you'd have gotten a kick out of this family. This is no joke. This is what they did. They came back from Thailand and they decided to get an RV to go across the United States in, visiting their churches. You know what their RV was? Their RV was an old school bus. They stripped everything out of it. They took the last part out of it, took out all the windows, put in chain link fence, and made it their patio. Then they took the front part, boarded it up, and that was their RV. And here they are running around the United States, going and visiting their churches. They were a great folks. They told us, they said, "Man, we can't wait to get back to Thailand because we got to get rid of this furlough fat. We won't go there." But yeah. But I got something from them one time. And this was sad. There was a missionary, his name was Harry Vickers. He visited Tim Searles. And there was the Karen tribe. There was a Karen pastor that was with them named Joseph Shui. They went from Thailand to Burma to meet the direct descendants of the converts of Adoniram Judson. It would have been fascinating to be there. They met a man named Stephen. He was head of the refugee camp in Thailand, where 12,000 of the Karen tribe live in exile. They're in Burma. Now this man, Stephen, who was a Christian, asked the missionary this: what took you so long? What took you so long? 12,000 people in this refugee camp, 12,000 people. He said, every one of the cults have been here. The charismatics have been here. You're the first Baptist. What took you so long? Have you ever thought about what it would be like to give the gospel somewhere around the world? Stop and think about it. There's a great need out there. Somebody is not going to their creed. God does not have a backup plan. He does not. There are creeds here in America, here in North Highlands, and around the world. They don't have their Titus. They don't have their Titus. Titus decided to stay on the ship. Titus decided to move on. There was something about Crete that they didn't like. God needs you in Crete. Now, this is my Crete. As long as God has me here, when God doesn't want me here, I'm gone. But I will always have a Crete. You will too. You will too. What are you doing with your Crete? If we want God to guide us to our Crete, there's got to be some things that we're willing to do. And I'm going to finish up with this. If you want to write these things down, please write this down. If God is going to guide us to our Crete, write this down. Number one, we need to be willing to think. We need to be willing to think. We need to ask ourselves, why am I here? What gifts has God given me? And what does His Word say of my place? First, we must be willing to think. Secondly, we must be willing to think ahead. We must be willing to think ahead and weigh the long-term consequences of alternative courses of action. What is going to take place if I do not go to my Crete? What's going to happen to the people that I would have been ministering to? The children that are around in this area, that's my Crete. That map represents doors. Somebody's Crete is there. They need to know about Christ. Thirdly, we must be willing to listen. I being in the way the Lord led me. Fourth, and this is a toughie, we must be willing to be ruthlessly honest with ourselves. We need to look ourselves in the mirror. And as somebody put it, we must suspect ourselves. Are you really, look at yourself in the mirror. Are you really making excuses? Are you really excusing yourself from stuff because of, reasons you're ginning up in your own mind? Now, I'm not telling you that you need to disappear and go on the other side of the world. The fact of the matter is, I believe the vast majority of us, we're called right here. And we do have a calling right here. But we need to ask ourselves this: who is it this next week will not hear the gospel because of my hard-heartedness on Sunday night, and I was not willing to listen to God's word about my creed. Who will lose out about hearing about Jesus? God does not have a backup plan. He knows the end from the beginning, but He also understands us, and He has given us a place. Fifth, lastly, we must be willing to wait. Wait on the Lord is what you read in the Psalms. Andrew Murray wrote a book on waiting on the Lord that spoke to me so much when I was teaching in Christian school and I was looking for God's will for my life. Wait on the Lord. Take the time. Pray. Fast. Do something. But I guarantee you this, there can come a time, if we don't think much about this, there will come a time, I should say, when we will stand before God and looking into the face of Jesus Christ, will recognize we had a creed and we said no. We absolutely said no. Go to Titus chapter 2, if you would please, and we'll close with this. Crete. This is what Paul said to Titus in chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, you hear that? Teaching us that utterly denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope. Praise God, there's coming a time we're going to stand before Him. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, listen to this, zealous of good works. He redeemed us so that we would have a passion for our creed. You need Crete. Crete needs you. God needs you in Crete. Let's stand for prayer.